This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Since 1938, employers in California have been able to apply for a certificate that allows them to pay employees with disabilities less than the minimum wage, in some cases as little as $2 an hour. Some say the program, called 14C, creates opportunities for people who otherwise could not find employment. Others say it is exploitive, and a state bill has been introduced to end the practice. To learn more, I spoke with Wesley Witherspoon, chair of the State Council on Developmental Disabilities, Vivian Hahn, senior attorney with Disability Rights California, John Belay, executive director of Vistability, and Sean Kennemer, executive director of Bakersfield ARC. He started the conversation by explaining how wages are set for workers exempt from the minimum wage.
So wages are determined through an in-depth process. So first, three staff members do the job, specific jobs that we're looking to evaluate an employee under the subminimum wage. So three employees actually do the job. They do it three times. We take an average of those three employees because everybody works a little bit different, and that is our baseline. So that is what we consider 100%. So every 6 months, a client that works with us in one of our employment services is evaluated. So we get a stopwatch. They know they're being evaluated. They do the job. If there's corrections that need to be made, we do that. So we base it on a time study, and that is done every 6 months. So however long it took them, based on what an employee without a disability that could work at 100%, that baseline, then they're rated on that level. And that is how then translates into their percentage of their pay rate. In addition, all rates are determined by a standard rate for the community. So it's not always based on minimum wage. So we have to go out and do studies with other agencies out in the community or other providers. So if it's a janitorial, what is their common rate that they're paying employees? And so we have to do that every year.
Sheltered workshops is a term used to describe some of the employment situations for disabled people who make less than minimum wage. Vivian Hahn with Disability Rights California, can you explain how sheltered workshops work?
Hi, sure. So sheltered workshops, generally speaking, are facility-based places where people with disabilities come together and are given work tasks to do. The tasks can range, but they are often piecemeal type work. And they are places where what we call 14C certificates are utilized, and they typically enable the employers to pay the workers something less than minimum wage.
And what is it like to work in these environments?
Again, I think experiences range, but what we have heard is that when people are placed into sheltered workshops, first, it's important to understand that these are segregated workshops. So the workers who are working there are working alongside only other people with disabilities, and that's typically other people with intellectual and developmental disabilities with little to no ability to work alongside non-disabled peers or adults. So it's a very segregated process, and the work that they are given, you know, again, ranges, but the tasks are often repetitive and they're often very focused on, again, what the employer wants them to do. There's typically not a lot of room for advancement. And the most important piece of all of this, again, is that these are places where people are being paid and allowed to be paid far less than minimum wage that everyone else is required to be paid by law. Often it's pennies or dollars per hour. And so it's oftentimes when people are placed in these settings, you know, often it's well-intentioned. There are often people there who, you know, who are supportive and are kind. And people are often glad initially to have work or activities to fill their day. But what we often hear later from people who are subsequently able to go to other programs, and particularly who are able to later transition to work for full pay, for full wages, what they will tell us is that they were not necessarily understanding or had not been fully aware of or informed of how limited their experience was at the time that they entered the sheltered workshop. And once they are given a fuller understanding of the range, the wide range of options that are available to them to do work that may be similar or better for full wages in a community-based environment that's really, truly part of the community and that it's not segregated, they almost always, I think, are just, I think, blown away by the range of opportunities that's actually available to them, and that typically opens up their world. We have heard many, many anecdotal stories of people who, once they are able to engage in what we call competitive integrated employment, and that's employment that's not segregated by disability and where people are paid minimum wage or higher as required by law, it opens up their world, not just financially in that they are obviously being paid at a higher rate, although that's certainly a big part of it, but it often impacts their sense of identity in terms of who they are and the fact that they have a place in the wider community. They have a real role to play, and they are known as contributing to a real workplace, to a community, and often that changes their entire outlook in that they are connected to the wider community. And we often hear stories of, you know, relationships, friendships blossoming, and it just enriches their lives in so many ways, in addition to being more financially empowered, which, of course, is a key and is a critical sure. part of why people with disabilities want to be able to work at a competitive wage. So there's just so many ways that it can and does impact people with intellectual and developmental disabilities when you compare limited opportunities that people have in sheltered workshops with the wide range of opportunities that are available to them just in the wider work world, just like anyone else without sure. disabilities.
So, John, I'd like to bring you into this conversation. You oppose the legislation that would eliminate this practice of sub-minimum wages, but my understanding is that your opposition is rooted in the concern that without the program, many of the workers would not be employable. Is that right?
Yeah, that would be accurate. You know, since 2014, on the federal legislation side, the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, WIOA, was passed. And that came with a very stringent set of training and requirements that really hindered, it right-sized the referrals to work activity programs to be the people that would truly rely on an employment setting that was conducive to their particular needs, as well as 14C to be able to essentially make sure that the cost of a unit or an hour of labor was not prohibitive to the work, because these individuals typically have the highest barriers to obtaining competitive employment. So, you know, my agency, we offer, there isn't a single service in the employment world that we don't offer. You know, we do the full gamut. And that's because we do recognize that this idea of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities is quite vast. And to just assume that everybody is going to be, as my previous commenter mentioned, that people are able to transition to these competitive integrated settings, that word able to do so often is a function of the individual's capabilities and ultimately the jobs that are available in the marketplace. And so the reality of it is that a overwhelming majority of the individuals, I know the individuals in my particular work programs, or as they're being referred to on this interview with sheltered workshops, they are operating at productivity levels that would be extremely prohibitive to them obtaining competitive wages, you know, competitive integrated setting or employment arrangement. So unless something else was put in place to essentially balance the sort of what is being produced in an hour per hour of labor to the, you know, to the respective cost, unless something other than 14C is put in that in place, I don't see any other thing that will happen other than the overwhelming majority of these individuals would simply just have to lose their, you know, their job and start to attend a day program or something that's not employment based.
You just heard from John Bollet. He runs Vistability, a nonprofit that provides services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The current law allows some of these individuals to work for less than minimum wage, but a recently introduced bill, SB 639, would outlaw that practice. John argues that if the bill passes, it will eliminate work opportunities for some disabled adults. Vivian Hahn, Senior Attorney for Disability Rights California, I would like to give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you. It's just not accurate that there's nothing in place for people with really intensive needs to connect them with full employment. And there are many individuals across the state who, with the right support, are able to participate fully in the workplace at a competitive wage in a non-segregated setting. And I don't disagree that there are and that there are significant barriers for many people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. But what I would say is that the barriers are not inherent in the disability themselves or in the impairment that people have. It's in the mismatch between their ability and in the supports that are provided to the people in the workplace. And I know of many agencies, many service providers who have been able to find the right job, just like with any person, disabled or not disabled, finding the right match is critical to ensuring long-term employment success, and then providing the right support both to the individual and to the employer, to the business that is employing the person. There are many innovative, really creative practices out there, and there are many people with support needs that I think most people would perceive to be very intense. There are people who, from the outside, you would look at someone who might be nonverbal, might not use speech, you know, might use a wheelchair, and might need the full-time support of a personal attendant. Or most people who aren't familiar with what they can do might think, what kind of job could they do? And, you know, they might have a lot of challenges to being employed. But even people with those very intensive support needs are finding success in many different workplaces around the state in many different sectors if and when they, again, they are given the right support and they are matched appropriately in places that can employ them. We know that these practices exist and are happening. I completely agree that it's not happening enough, and that is one of the barriers, but it's not impossible. It's just a matter of finding the will and finding the priorities in terms of policymaking to be able to take these successful and very promising practices and scaling them up and really making a concerted effort to connect people who might be transitioning out of sheltered workshops with these practices, with these providers who can provide the right supports in a very concerted way. So I think that those supports are there, and it's just a matter of making those connections, which is all completely doable. And in fact, SB 639 provides for a collaborative stakeholder process to make sure that there's a plan for doing exactly that. That is absolutely part of the bill.
So just to be clear, the bill that you referenced would eliminate this legal ability for employers to apply for a certificate to, you know, hire folks under minimum wage. Sean, I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond, given your work with Bakersfield ARC. Do you believe that there is the ability to provide, to successfully transition some folks to minimum wage employment?
Well, let me first start with, yes, I believe there is opportunity to transition some individuals, but let me preference that with Bakersfield ARC, we're in the transition within the next 2 years. We're eliminating our 14C certificate. What that means is 30 to 40 individuals that worked in our sheltered workshop will not have employment because they do not fit or cannot receive the basic services through the state of California for us to continue to find them jobs in the community. And what I mean by that is I can find the positions, I can have the employers, but simply the state of California requires that when we do job coaching for an individual out in the community, we are required to lessen the service that we provide monthly until we have no more service for that individual. So somebody could be successful in a community-based employment, but through our job coaching services, if we were to receive 40 hours a week or 40 hours a month to provide job coaching services, each month we are having to reduce that number, and as though the individual would never or isn't always going to require that level of service. And so in that case, those individuals then lose their employment in the community. We've seen this over and over and over again. Nobody in our sheltered workshop or in our 14C certificate is there. They're there all by choice. So we highly recommend. We've tried to work with individuals to get them out. I believe John is the same thing. The other thing that I think is missing is the support. So individuals that have medical issues that are in a 14C program have medical issues that have to take a lot of time to be out of their job because of their illness, no employer in the community is going to okay that because you're never going to know if you're going to have an employee from day to day. So, you know, you've got this whole situation where I think people look at it as a utopian. That is the idea. I think we always have to keep working to that. But simply doing it without providing the funding through the state level. And as we've seen, you know, the state 5 years ago did a study that said the system was $1.8 billion underfunded 5 years ago. Well, they just said, okay, we're going to give you that to make up that $1.8 billion, but it's going to be over the next 5 years that we're going to phase this in. Not to account, now we're 10 years by the time we get the five-year funding out. Now you're 10 years down the road. Costs go up during that time. Everything goes up. You know, and this is where I say, if you want to eliminate the 14C, you have to provide the funding that goes with it. The state's not willing to do that. And it is totally, you know, it's an utopian thought process that 14Cs should just go away and it won't hurt anybody. We saw this in other states throughout the United States where overnight, 8,000 people lost their day program for employment-only services, and they considered employment-only, minimum wage, non-subminimum wage employment being successful when they work 2 hours a week. That's what we're facing, and I don't think that's being addressed.
Wesley, you chair the State Council on Developmental Disabilities, and you are also a self-advocate. What would you like listeners to know about this issue?
Shelter workshops, a subminimum wage, or a product of the 1930s, a bygone age. While at one point this was seen as the best, most progressive program for people with IDDs, time has changed. Our views have changed and our options have changed. This is the right policy at the right time with the right supports to make it successful for people who deserve better. The legislative have invested $15 million a year in the past 5 years to help providers adapt, change, modernize, and the office bill, Senator Durazo, have pointed out the legislative has invested heavily to support each individual transition. At the end of the day, the timing to make this transition will never be as perfect as it is right now. In regards to whatever you may feel at its core, this is a civil rights issue. People with developmental disabilities are being paid less than minimum wage in Sag Harbor State. The wage we believe that no person should earn less than. So with for SB 639, and thank everybody, and we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking with Wesley Witherspoon, chair of the State Council on Developmental Disabilities, Vivian Hahn from Disability Rights California, John Bollet, executive director of Visitability, and Sean Kennemer from Bakersfield ARC. Thank you all so much for being on the panel.
Thank you.
My pleasure.